fire. Tremendous job of singing. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter number 5. Thank you, Dalton. We're going to read the first 20 verses. Don't let that alarm you. I'm getting all your Bible reading in for this week. Y'all stay with me. All right. Is everybody ready? No? All right. Mark chapter number 5. We're going to read about somebody we all familiar with. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to be preaching about some of your kin folks this morning. Is everybody all right? You'll get that here in a minute. Verse number 1 of Mark chapter number 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, this is talking about Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Jesus speaking here, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and there choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now, isn't this something amazing? God literally performs an exorcism on this man, and to the account of at least 2,000 demons went into those swine, and yet their response is, go away. Man, we live in a messed up world. How many of y'all know that? We like to think that we're more advanced and more civilized and smarter than these people, but we're not. The sad thing is God could have performed the same miracles in front of us, and we would have reacted the same way. I'm amazed at the miracle performed here and the response to it. The Bible says in verse number 18, Jesus is obliged. He left. They asked him to leave. And so he did. I need somebody to hear me right here. Amen. Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you and make you do anything you don't want to do. They prayed and asked him to leave. and he left. Bible says, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. See, not everybody wanted him to leave. I need somebody to help me right here. There was a crowd that wanted him to leave, but there was one amongst that crowd. He said, if you're going to leave, take me with you. I don't want to be left around here. Man, that's just good stuff. Verse number 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. That means, literally means Jesus wouldn't allow him. He wanted to leave, but Jesus said, no, you can't go with me. He said this to him. He said, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Oh, Jesus said, look, I can't stay. They want me to leave. And you can't go with me where I'm going. But I want you to stay right here. Go back home. And you tell all your friends what great things happened to you. And how the Lord, y'all see how he worded that? Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Jehovah hath done for thee. And hath had compassion on thee. Jesus once again telling them who he was. Verse number 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I looked this passage of scripture and I entitled it Rescue Story. If there was a greater rescue story in the Bible, I don't know where it would be found. You have to understand that this man's only hope was Jesus. Is everybody all right? The priest and the religious crowd, they didn't want to have anything to do with him. Matter of fact, the town, according to the scripture, had disowned him, and he was living in the town cemetery. He was hanging out in the tombs. That's why I told Michelle, I said, I'm preaching about your family this morning. They all messed up. How many of y'all got in-laws like this? I need somebody to help me. All right, I'm with y'all. I figured everybody would raise a hand. But some of you are having to sit with your in-laws, and you're scared to death right now. Hey, but it's all right. It's all right. We all have this in-law. Or, come on, help me right here. Or we are the in-law. As I look at this passage of scripture, I got four things I want to look at this morning. Pretty simple. It's just outlining the scripture, and I ain't done nothing special with it. But I pray this morning that you'll get something out of it. Out of one of these 4 points, I pray that God will speak to you and minister to your heart. I looked at the case for this man. Number one, the case for this man. And I looked at his life in the first few verses, and I realize what sin does to a man. Now we look at this man and we like to say, well, he was possessed by demons. Of course he would do all of that. But this is a picture of what sin does in everybody's life. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. How many of you is an all in this building right here for all? Everybody, you an all. Raise your hands up, people. Y'all all alls, all right? Is everybody all right? I shouldn't have to explain this to you, but you don't stick out. You all, you an all, just like I'm an all. We all, for all of us that are in here have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for there's none that is righteous. I need somebody to help me. That includes you. It includes you. Let me point your finger at yourself. That's me, Lord. That's you. That's what I'm talking about. They say there's none righteous, no, not one. So every one of us at some point in our life has been just like this man. We may not have had our home in the tombs, but I'd like to show you some things spiritually. I think that we have had our home in the tombs. Is everybody all right? But as we look at this morning, I see the case for this man. Sin desecrated this man. The Bible says about him in verse number 2 that he was a man with an unclean spirit. This sin had defiled him. Can I say this? Sin defiles you and I. Stay with me this morning. Many of you are going to a specific sin in your life, and that's what I'm not that's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about that sin nature that you were born with. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The fact is that you and I sin because we were born in it. I need somebody to help me right here. I didn't have to teach my children how to sin. I have to teach my children how to do right. Why? Because my children know how to sin. I need some help right here. I'm reliving this. I got grandkids now, and I'm reliving this very thing in our life, all right? I see man's defilement from sin in my grandchildren. Why? Because when you tell them no, they take it as a challenge. And my grandson, it's took me a while, but I've gotten to the place where I can get on to him. All right. I for years, is everybody all right? He's four now, huh? Four and a half. Bless God. Don't forget the half. All right. He's four and a half. And I set out from the beginning. I'm like, look, I beat my kids, right? So I wasn't going to beat my grandkids. So I've never dealt with Wyatt. I don't beat Wyatt. I just send him to his daddy, or I send him to Mimi. And then I go, then this is what I do. Oh, did Mimi spank you? They come running. And now Dalton and them's done caught on to it. So when they get on to him, the kids come running to me and he stops it. Being a bad dad. I don't know what it was. But that grandbaby, the youngest one, Wesley, there may be some, she relates to this guy, all right? But I need somebody to hear me right here. Hey, I can't get on to her. I don't know if it's fear. Or just hearing her say, Papa. Papa, I'm sorry. Oh, I need somebody to help me. I just had to turn around and walk out of the room. Mimi, you got to deal with that. I can see man's defilement in my grandkids. I can see man's defilement in the news. Come on, help me, y'all. See, man's defilement, everywhere we look, we can see it. That, you don't even have to, listen to me. You ain't got to leave your house with a spiritual mind to see how corrupt man has become. This sin defiled this man. It desecrated him. It isolated this man. The Bible says that this man ended up in the tombs, away from his home, away from his family, away from his friends. He ended up in the tomb. How many of you know that sin do the same thing to you and I? I want you to take the analogy of when you do somebody wrong, the last person you want to see is them. And the same thing is applied when you and I sin against God, the last person that we want to be around is God. And so the devil uses sin in our life to isolate us from the one that loves us. Oh, y'all didn't hear that real good, all right? He isolates us by sin in our life from the one that loves us. The one that can change our lives. It isolates us. Not only that, sin dominates us. Comes to a point in your life, the Bible says, according to this scripture right here, that this man was dominated by sin. It says that they tried binding him up. They tried chaining him up. They tried to put fetters on him. But night and day, he broke the fetters, and night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. It dominated him. Sin laid hold on his life and it literally took control of him. Come on, y'all, help me now. Can I say this about a man? He's born into sin and it begins to defile him. When he becomes aware of his sin, it isolates him. If he does not deal with his sin, it will eventually dominate him. And how many of us, I'll raise my hand to the Lord, has allowed sin to dominate us at times in our lives? My testimony, you just heard it. I have allowed, more than once, I hate to say it, I'll say this also, I've allowed sin to dominate my life since I've been saved too. Sin is a very powerful force, and it's a force that must be dealt with, but it's a force that you and I have no power against except in Christ. Sin desecrated this man. It isolated this man. It dominated this man. It mutilated this man. The Bible says in verse number 5 that he was cutting himself with stones. Can I say this? That sin has a way of changing how you look. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Sin has a way of changing how we look. The Bible says about Naomi when she came back from Moab back. The Bible says this about Naomi. They said, is that Naomi? And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for I am bitter. Sin has a way, and it ain't got to be drugs and alcohol. Sin has a way of mutilating the body and changing how we look. Sin devastated this man. I want you to think about this. This man was away from his family. This man lost everything that he had. He lost his home. He lost his finances. He lost his family. He lost his friends. And ultimately, he lost his freedom. Even though he was roaming in the mountains and on the seashores, and even though he was in the tombs, he wasn't free. Somebody got to hear me this morning. He wasn't free. Even though to everybody that would look, he could not be bound. He broke chains. He broke fetters. But yet, he was bound. Yet, he was chained up. Yet, he was imprisoned. Why? Because sin has a way of taking our freedom, affecting our families. Come on. Affecting our finances. Sin has a way. You know, I was 18, 19 years old. I told y'all this before, but me and my wife didn't. I got to watch my mouth here how I say this. We didn't have anything. Right? But you know what I did when I got a paycheck every Friday? You know my first stop? JP's there in Brunswick. I swing by there and get a keg. Keg. Is everybody with me? We didn't have nothing. We didn't have nothing, Miss Lucy. Couldn't even hardly pay our bills. But you know what I did every Friday? I stopped by and made sure I had my good time for the weekend. Didn't even realize how imprisoned I was. Thought I was living it up. Having a party every weekend, Jesse. I mean, it was, calling everybody up. Michelle called everybody. My wife didn't even drink. A keg wasn't for her. She didn't drink. She didn't do anything bad. I tried to get her to do bad. She wouldn't do bad. It's the most aggravating thing I've ever been around in my life. I needed somebody that would sin with me. I need somebody to help me. She was always Miss Goody Two-Shoes while I was over there drunk, partying, carrying on. She's over there, which I ain't going to say she was good, but she wasn't real bad, all right? But over and over again, I allowed sin to control me. And we do the same thing. It may not be in the same story, and it may not be what my story is, but we allow sin to affect us, and it affects our finances, our family, our friends. It affects our freedom. This case for this man. I want you to notice with me the cure for the man, because I'm trying to hurry, because I want to get to the next point, really, to be honest with you. But I really like this point. We can't go past this point, because I want you to know about there's a cure for that. The cure for this man was the compassion of a Savior. Now, see, men, you don't think much about that because we see this as a story of Jesus was just on his way and he just happened to come across this guy who came out from the tombs and met him. But what you don't realize is that Jesus was God. You have to keep in your memory that this was God in the flesh that was walking here on earth. He knew that that man was over on that seashore before he ever got in the boat on the other side. He knew that there was somebody over there that was defiled by sin, isolated by sin, desecrated by sin, mutilated by sin, devastated by sin, and he had compassion on him. And he got in a boat and he went across that sea, and I didn't read the story, but if you go back in Mark chapter number 4, the devil tried to stop him in that storm that night, tried to keep him from getting to the other side, and he walked down on the bow of that boat and spoke, "Peace be still," because he was going to get a sinner. He was going to get somebody that needed to be saved, somebody that needed his love. And he showed up on the other side, and that man thought it was a chance meeting, but it wasn't. It was a love of God that was extended to him, because Christ came to where he was when he couldn't get to where Jesus was. I need somebody in the building to help me this morning. Hey, he came to where I was. He showed compassion on who I was. I wasn't nothing to be proud of. I wasn't nothing to put up and brag about. But he loved me in the sin that I was in and came to where I was at. Woo! The cure is a compassion of a Savior. The love of a Savior that came to where I was when I was torn up by sin and loved me. I need somebody to help me right here. I'm glad he didn't come to the religious crowd and this man showed up. Because then we would have had to say he was catering to the religious crowd. But oh no! He came for one man, and one man only. The Bible says that that man got saved, and Jesus got back in the boat and went back across the sea. Somebody ain't hearing me this morning. Hey, there ain't no greater love than that. That man come all the way across for one man. Listen here, Jesus came all the way from the portals of heaven. He come down from his throne in glory, and he come to this earth just for me. If he'd have died, he would have died just for me. He would have died just for you. And he came all that way, not because you and I deserved it, not because we earned it, but because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know what you got going on in your life. That's what God did for me. It was a case for this man. I didn't even want to preach that point, and y'all got me preaching. It was a case for this man. We see the cure for this man. We see the compassion of a Savior. We see the coming of a Savior. We see the confronting of sin. I'm glad when this man ran out to Jesus, Jesus didn't say, "Oh no, I ain't gonna mess with you. You too bad." I need somebody ain't heard that. Somebody ain't heard that. He said, he didn't say, "Hey, you too bad for me to deal with." Matter of fact, I don't know of anybody that can help you. Boy, why is it that we let the devil convince us that nobody can help us? Why is it that we got so many people that come to church and they are utterly convinced that God cannot save them? And yet God over and over again shows us in Scripture people in far worse condition than what we were. And he loved them. Brother Garrett, if he could love this maniac, if he could love this demon-possessed man, I'm thinking he could love me. I need somebody to help. And some of you are demon-possessed, but this is proof he can love you too. I'm kidding. I'm just messing. We see the confronting of sin. I'm thankful that he didn't say, "Hey, I can't handle this one." 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sin. There's that word "all" again. We see the cleansing of sin. This man was changed, not because of any work that he did, but because of what the Savior did. Listen to me. I'm not who I am today because I woke up and decided that I was going to be a better person. You see, if you think that, then you've missed out on what sin does, and sin dominates us. Sin won't allow us to be a better person. Come on, help me now. Sin ain't going to allow us to be a better person. I ain't perfect, but I'm not who I used to be. It ain't because of anything that I did. It's because of what he did. This is what I wanted to preach this morning. The change in this man. The change in this man. The case for this man. The cure for this man. Number three, the change in this man. We tend to live in a, well, we do. We live in a society where everybody's got religion. Come on, help me. Most people claim to be saved. Most people claim to be Christians. Large majority of our population here in America claims to be Christian. And yet, our society couldn't prove it. Come on, help me now. We claim something because we want to be identified with it for the benefit of it. But that's not who we are. And so many today are caught up in this thought that I know Jesus, I know a little bit about Jesus, and so that makes me a Christian. I want to show you this morning, if I can, just for a second, but I want to show you that the demons knew who Jesus was. The Bible says about the demons, they said in verse number 7, and cried with a loud voice. This is the demons crying with a loud voice. Say, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't remember Jesus introducing himself in this thing. Y'all, come on, help me now. That was good. I don't care who you are. Jesus never introduced himself, but they knew who he was. Because this ain't the first time they had come across Jesus. It may have been the first time they had met him here on earth, but it wasn't the first time that they had seen Jesus. They knew exactly who he was. Though nobody else knew who he was, and everybody else had a problem figuring out who Jesus was, even when he said, go and tell everybody what the Lord, ding, 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 did for you. Everybody had a problem figuring out who Jesus was, but the demons didn't. They says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou son of the most high God? Man, I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of people today claiming to know Jesus as the son of the most high God. Y'all got to help me now. See, I don't know that you're getting the picture. But, Brother Ken, the same people that are saying, I know Jesus, the son of the most high God, they can identify with the demons here. Because the demons knew exactly who he was, and they even professed who he was. I need somebody. Hey, they did more than most Christians do. At least they acknowledged who he was. That was a good one. I didn't realize how good that was. My point is that just because you know him doesn't mean that your life's been changed by him. And see, here's the thing. The thing is this, is if you want to know whether you're a Christian, we have to go back and look at where we were and where we are. Now, I'm not where I want to be, but I certainly ain't who I used to be. Now, I ain't perfect by no means, and when I run across that perfect person on the earth, I'll be first one to let y'all know, all right? But until I meet that guy, I'm just going to assume y'all are all like me. And we ain't where we need to be or want to be, but we definitely ain't where we used to be. And I'm praying that you can say this with me. There's been a big change from who I used to be to who I am today. And because of his love, I believe there'll be more change in my future. Stay with me. we see the change of this man. His demeanor changed. The Bible says this man went from crying into tombs and cutting himself and crying out to sitting. Something changed. Sitting. Not just sitting anywhere. But the Bible tells us another recounts of this story that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. His demeanor changed. How about this? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are laden and are burdened and heavy laden. He says, and I will give you rest. This man that found no rest, that cried night and day, this man is sitting. Let me say it this way. Resting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, I need somebody to help me. I promise you, there was a Baptist in the crowd that was going, who's he think he is? There was a Martha in the crowd that said, don't you see we got work to do, Jesus? And you let him sit at the feet, put him out there working, Jesus. There was somebody in the crowd, we just don't have an account of it in the Bible, but there was somebody in the crowd that was Baptist that was whining about it. But we find his demeanor changed. Listen to me, his demeanor changed. He found peace. Listen. And he found a place in worship. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says not only does his demeanor change, but the Bible tells us that his discretion changed. This is good. Because in Luke chapter number 8, the Bible says he was naked. I'm going to walk over here and say this. The Bible says that this man was naked. But the Bible tells us right here that he was sitting clothed. Now, I could preach for a while on some of the clothes that I see today. But I'll just preach it like this. Discretion. His discretion changed. He realized that it wasn't appropriate to let it all hang out for Jesus. Is everybody all right? So the Bible says he was clothed. The Bible says he was in his right mind. Demeanor change. The Bible says he was at the feet of Jesus. His dwelling changed. Oh, is everybody all right? The Bible says that he went and began to proclaim this. I'm getting ahead of myself because Jesus ain't giving him the command yet, but he went, the Bible says, and told everybody, began to publish abroad what Jesus had done for him. Listen to me, his dialogue changed. His dialogue changed. What he talked about. Come on. Great indicator that we've been changed. For out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaketh. When the heart changes, come on, don't get mad at me. The mouth, it changes. His demeanor changed. His discretion changed. His dwelling changed. His desires changed. Oh, y'all missed it. Probably because I didn't show it to you. Verse number 7. This man ran out to Jesus when he was demon possessed. And he says this, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? This is what he was saying. Why are you here? Listen to me. I don't want you here. Is everybody all right? Now, I want you to go over to verse number 18. And in verse number 18, he says this, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Verse 7, he didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. Verse 18, he didn't want Jesus to leave. Y'all, come on, help me. His desires changed. I don't understand. I don't understand how you call yourself a Christian and your desires haven't changed. I was telling them boys yesterday, I said, I hated church. And I did. If you know my I hated it. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand to hear the choir sing. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even sit in there while the choir was singing. I'd walk out into the foyer until the preacher started preaching. Did I not? I didn't like it. Didn't care nothing about church. Before I got saved, I didn't want nothing to do with church. Was drugged to church as a child, and I just, man, come on now. When you're made to do something, oftentimes it just, man, it just. But here's the thing. When I got saved at 22 years of age, I couldn't think of any place I'd rather be. I remember my boss at the chemical plant, Miss Lucy, I told him, I said, I need to go. We're having this thing for the kids, and man, I want to be there with them. We're doing a camp, and it's right there in Waycross, and if you'll let me off work, I can go to that thing. And he said, I told him, you don't even have to pay me. I just want to go. Just give me the day off without pay to go to this thing. I'll never forget, that man looked at me, he said, and church is that important to you? Oh, I need somebody to help me. Has anybody ever said that to you? What happened, preacher? My desires changed. Oh, and I got paid good. It wasn't like I was trying to get out of work. I got paid good and didn't have to hardly do anything. I just, my desires changed. Where I wanted to be changed. This man's desires changed. Have your desires changed? Has your demeanor changed? Has your discretion changed? Has your dwelling changed? Ooh. He was hanging out in some rough places. Places with the dead people. Hey, I remember hanging out with some places with the dead people. No, I didn't run around in cemeteries, but I run around in bars. Everybody all right? In there with a bunch of dead people. Didn't even know they were dead. Didn't even realize where their life was headed, but I was right there in the middle of them. Hanging out with them when sin was dominating my life. Is everybody all right? When I got saved, things changed. My dwelling place changed. My bar, I traded the bar in for the church. Is everybody all right? I'll move on from that. I know I'm getting on some nerves with some of y'all. Y'all need Jesus. We see the case for this man. We see the cure for this man. We see the change in this man. I want to know this. Have you been changed this morning? I don't want to hear about your profession. I don't want to hear you tell me about who Jesus is. The demons can tell me who Jesus is. The demons can tell me about who Jesus is. Matter of fact, James said this about the demons. He says the demons know him, they believe in God, and tremble. Not only do the demons know him, but they believe in him. And the Bible says, and they tremble. Listen, we put too much on this thought of, I know who he is. I want evidence. What's the evidence in your life that you're saved? I don't want you to answer that out loud. This is a question for you. Is it just a profession? I'm a Christian. The majority of America does that. What's the change that's happened in your life? Dalton, come to the piano. Good night. I didn't realize what time it was. Don't look at your watch. I got this. Case for this man. He needed a savior and one came. Offered a cure. Compassion. He loved him. Changed his life. Listen, changed his life. Has your life been changed? For those of you that are emphatically hollering, yes, I got one more point. He's playing. This man said, Jesus, take me with you. I want to go with you. I don't want to be apart from you. Jesus said, no, son, you can't go. Can't go with me because you have a job to do here. Hey, I need somebody to help me. Hey, God said you can't go with me. See, if it was just about salvation and being with him, we'd have already checked out. But God said you can't go with me. Jesus said you can't leave with me. You got to stay here. He said you got to go tell people. not what Romans chapter number 3, verse number 23, and Romans chapter number 3, verse number 10, and Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8, and Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12, and Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23, Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 through 13. Not tell them that. He said, go tell them what the Lord had done for you. Listen, forget about all that other stuff. Brother Robbie, I don't know my Bible that well. I can't tell nobody about Jesus. Jesus instructed my man. He didn't say, hey, I want you to run over there to the temple and get you buy you some of them scrolls. And I want you to grab you a bag and you put your scrolls in your bag and you run around and everybody you come across, you pull that scroll out and you read to them. No. Jesus said, I want you to go home. And this is good. Listen. He said, I want you to go home. Why? Because the people at home knew you before you got saved. I need somebody to help me. See, we all worried about our past, but God said, hey, your past is what's going to lead others to me. So go home. Don't go to another area. Don't go somewhere where nobody knows you. Go back home. He said, tell all your friends what great things the Lord had done for thee. And the Bible says that this man went and began to publish it abroad. Hey, come on now. I need some help. This dude, the day before, was cutting himself, hollering in the tombs, crying out, demon possessed, and now he's running around saying, woo! Jesus saved me. How many of you people, come on now, help me now. How many people you think was going? That joker's crazy. He's lost his mind. How many of you believe that there were some folks that was probably a little skeptical at first? Hey, but Jesus said, go home. Live in front of them. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee. And he immediately went out and published it abroad. Come on, y'all. Are we any different than him? We found our dwelling in some pretty bad places. Sin dominated our lives, and yet a Savior came to where we were at, died on a cross for us, and his only request out of us is that we hang around and tell others about him. That's pretty good. I can do that. He did the changing, Jesse. He did the changing, and all he wants me to do is tell everybody about it. That's pretty simple. Why we make it so hard? Heads bowed with me this morning. This morning, if you're sitting in this building, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, listen to me. I want to help you this morning. I told you a little bit about my story, and I don't know yours, but I do know we all come from the same place. We all battle the same sins. Your sin might be called something different than my sin, but we all had them. The question is, has your life been changed? That's the question I have for you this morning. Has your life been changed? Maybe this morning you say, preacher, I profess to be saved, but preacher, my life is not evident of it. Preacher, I couldn't prove it because there's not been a change in my life. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor. Nobody's looking around. I want you to just raise your hand up. Preacher, there's not been a change in my life. Preacher, there's not been a change in my life. I do not know. I can't go back. I can't trace it back to where my life was changed. Is there anybody like that? Be honest with the preacher this morning. I want to help you. How about this? How about this question? Tonight, when you lay your head down on a pillow, if you weren't to wake up tomorrow, do you know where you'd be? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? What I'm asking you is, do you know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? If you can't answer that, I want you to do this for me. Nobody's looking around. I want you to look up at me. Make eye contact with me. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm not pointing you out. I'm not going to send anybody to you. I just want you to be honest. Is there anybody like that to be honest with me? Preacher, I'm not sure. All right. I see that. I seen you. Listen here, I want to help you if you let me help you. Service is over. It's time for us to apply what we heard. As a Christian, we apply this to our life as we go out and tell others. As a lost individual, we apply it this way. It's time to get some things settled in our lives. I'm going to give you a few moments with heads bowed, just a few moments. If you'll let me, I want you to get up out of your seat. I'll meet you in the aisle. We'll help you get this thing settled. You can lay your head down on a pillow tonight knowing that if you were to die, you'd wake up in the arms of Jesus. I want to help you. But you got to come. It's your decision, your choice to make. Won't you come? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the service. Lord, the choir was on point. Lord, exactly what I needed. Ministered to me. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for Brother Jake and every choir member. Lord, the effort they put in to making our services great. Lord, I pray that you bless them for it. Lord, I thank you for the sermon. Lord, if nothing else, I pray it'd be a reminder to us, God, of your goodness and where you found us. God, how you saved us, how you changed us. A reminder, God, we have a purpose. Lord, that's to show others and tell others about you. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here this morning. Lord, I pray that you give them a blessing for coming to church on a Sunday morning. Lord, I pray for their return. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise.